There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She has bad-mouthed every single one of us in our circle. I don't want to lose our liquor license over somebody's wedding in their basement with a stripper pole. I used to hear stories. I think she was like the one that was like, honor code, what? She was meeting up with somebody other than her family.
That piece of shit, garbage whore. I hate her. She's a whore. She's half of me.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, our Bravo / Housewives edition. Just for like the next month or so, just because we're so in flux with like Housewives in, Housewives out, reunion, not reunion, Potomac, Salt Lake, Beverly Hills, Winter House coming next week. I just feel like there's going to be so much to talk about, and so we're going to go for hopefully quantity and quality. Hopefully we're not going to be lacking on the quality, but I'm going to have to be like a little bit more loosey-goosey, less intricate in my recaps moving forward, at least for the next little while, because I want to talk about everything. Like, there's nothing that I want to take off the docket as of yet. I mean, I was really struggling through Beverly Hills, I must admit. But we'll get into that in a second. And really, it was Salt Lake City. It's not like it was a bad episode. It's just that not everything can be recapped, you know? I can't recap everything. I will say that. I cannot recap everything. Like, the guys over Watch What Crappens, they can recap everything. I can't do it. I can't make it entertaining. I know that. Like, I just can't do it. So I usually, like, save some things just for pure entertainment, but I want to talk about all of these. But that's also extremely tentative, because what if Winter House is bad? What if Salt Lake is kind of a flop? I mean, I would never say that about Potomac. I know it's going to be good, but like, you know, who's to say? It's also, here's the thing, is that like, I keep these Bravo episodes on Fridays and Potomac comes out on Sunday. And by the time you get to Friday, do you really want to hear me, the 17th opinion that you've heard about Potomac? Probably not. So I try to like spare you guys from that. But you know, maybe, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. Anyway, let's get into the episode. And really, something's on my heart. I've been sending blessings and prayers out to the universe and they haven't been working. So if you guys will just indulge me for just a moment, just a brief moment. If you're able to, not if you're driving or, you know, holding a child or a knife or something, don't close your eyes. But if you are in a safe place where you can do so and bow your head, I would like for you to join me in just a very quick prayer. Okay. Dear Blue Ivy, I know I haven't spoken to you in quite some time. That's my bad. We'll talk about that later separately. However, I'm coming to you as a group and speaking for the people who listen to this podcast and myself in just like a bit of help in the future. Many of us are millennials and Gen Z And some of us are older, you know, that's awesome too. My point is, for all of us listening, and especially me, because I'm the one who's making the effort of doing the prayer, it just kind of seems like, you know, I should get most of the benefits, but, you know, whatever. But if you could just cover us in whatever you need to cover us in to ensure that, like, when we're in our 50s, that we don't engage in the absolute capital L loser behavior that Erica, Jane Girardi, and Lisa Rinna just engaged in. It's so embarrassing as a human, as a woman, as a Housewives fan, and just like as a person out there in the universe. I think for their own mental health, maybe they don't know how stupid they looked, and that's sad. Maybe that's for the best, though. That's neither here nor there. Like, just make sure it doesn't happen to me/us. I can't do that. I can't take it on. Oh, it was rough. So, thank you. I'll be 50 in 14 years. So, if you could make that happen, I would really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Blue. And if you could tell your mama to come out with some visuals for Renaissance, I would really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, thank you. You guys can open your eyes. And I hope it works out for us all. I really do. Ask, believe, receive. Ask, believe, receive. Let's get into Salt Lake City because, you know, just quickly, I don't want to get too into depth, but let's talk about these taglines. And I have to say, I think overall, as a franchise, this is probably the best taglines just as a group, I think, that I've heard in quite some time. So we're starting with Jen, who says, "I'm fighting for my life, not your approval." Well, I think you're fighting for, like, at least, like, 13 people's approval. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Whitney, "I'm more of a free spirit without the Holy Spirit." That's a bold stance, Whitney Rose. What happened to her skincare line? Are we still doing that? What did she change it to? Doesn't matter. I don't think it exists. Anyway, Lisa, "I'll always have your back if you stop stabbing me in mine." That's delusion, baby. And I truly, truly love it. Moving on to Meredith. "When I take a shot, I always hit my mark." That's good. It's not your last name. It's Marks, but it's good. That's good. And then we have Heather with, "I may be a bad Mormon, but I'll always be a good time." And I like that. Solid overall. I think their delivery was all really good. The delivery often really irks me. Like, who was the last season that was just awful? It was like they did their, I can't remember. It may have been Orange County. Like, it was just like, any of you guys ever read a book? Do you guys know what cadence is? It was just very strange and stilted. But anyway, thank God we don't have to talk about Orange County right now. Or do we? Do we want to talk about really quick? There's like a rumor going around that Heather Dubrow has stopped filming because Dr. Terry and his puppet face have gotten caught cheating. So she don't want to talk about it. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's get into it. We start with Jen having a conversation with her mom. Let's all refresh our memory that her mother has given her, something to the tune of $1 million to fight Jen's court cases and attorney's fees. Did charcuterie boards just hit the Salt Lake City scene as like a trend? Because very heavy, real heavy in the decorative charcuterie boards. I'm not mad at it. I love, Trader Joe's suggestion. Shout out to my friend Shira. And shout out to Shira's friend who says, "Oh, that's also my friend Shira," when I say my friend Shira, because Shira told me that. So shout out to you, girl. I really love that. But she put me on to the, I don't have it. It's like a spreadable cheddar. I think it's called I can't remember, you guys. It's too far away. It's a cheddar cheese spread at Trader Joe's. And it's like a white cheddar and it comes in a tub. And you'll find it in the cheese section. If you really want to know, DM me and I'll send you the picture. Because I'm not going to remember to like put it in the show notes or anything, but it's very good. Really good on an apple. Really good on an apple with a little bit of Mike's hot honey drizzled on it. So thank me later. It's apple season, baby. Anyway, Jen has her mom come over. They have the charcuterie board, and basically Jen's talking to her mom about, like, how she's dealing with the consequences of her actions and how Coach Shaw walked in on Omar, their son, their 16-year-old son, and he was crying in his bedroom, and she's stressed out because, well, we know why. We know why. Basically, Jen says that, like, the weight of everything is getting to her. Every time her phone rings, she freaks out because she doesn't know if it's going to be, like, another thing with the court case. She is getting hit in the head with social media and people's reaction. And the editors were so shady. It was, like, a two-pronged shadiness that happened here. First of all, Jen is, like, really upset. She's talking about how, like, the social media, like, people have been getting her. And the two tweets that they decide to show, you guys, the two tweets that they decide to show, the first one says, so Stuart, Jen Shaw's assistant, pled guilty. Child, there is no way that woman's not going to go to prison. She will be out by her 100th birthday. And smile emoji. And, like, not actually not even the smile emoji, like the old school colon parenthesis. That smile. And then the second one was hot take dot dot dot, kind of hoping Jen Shaw goes to jail so I can slide into Coach Shaw's DM, shrug emoji, drool smiley face emoji. And then here's the two prong. Jen starts talking about basically how if it weren't for the kids and Coach Shaw, that she probably would not be on this planet and probably would have unalived herself. So really, it was just, like, very jarring because I really wanted to laugh at those tweets, but I couldn't because then she was talking about that. And it was like, damn, that's really heavy. That's deep. I have to tell you guys that there were parts where I was watching this episode and I was like, you know what? She doesn't need to go to jail. She doesn't need to. It's fine. It's fine. But she needs to. And I think she will, you guys. What if, okay, are there people, raise your hand, let me know, are there people who genuinely think that Jen Shaw might not go to jail? Because I actually am now, like, something, I don't know, something came over me, maybe it was Whitney's spiritual energy healer, and I just felt like I don't think Jen's going to jail, or maybe she'll get, like, a year and change, but I don't know, like, what was with the last update? Is she definitely going to jail? Like, do we know that she's definitely going to jail based on that charge, the guilty plea? I don't know. I just kind of have a feeling that she might get out of this. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in what, November? Uh-oh. So then Meredith goes over to Whitney's house, and I'm loving Whitney and Heather's transparency about their new friendships with Meredith and Lisa. Like, they know that they're only being approached because they are the only ones left to come to. And they're fine with that. They're like, you know what? I'll take it. This is completely being treated like a second fiddle, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Meredith tells Whitney, oh, there was another charcuterie board, by the way. Meredith tells Whitney that she basically is, like, fine since Coach Shaw's party, but she basically kind of feels like Lisa's a hypocrite because she's always talking about how people, you know, need to practice what they preach, but she's talked shit about everybody in the group. She talks shit about Whitney and her stripper pole. She talks shit about somebody else, like, basically everybody, calling Heather Shrek, Meredith, you're a whore who's fucked half of New York, you know, that type of vibe. I think Jen's sleeping with her somebody else, not her husband. All of these things, and I think they went into chronological order, by the way. They're so ready. The editors on Salt Lake City are having so much fun, and you can tell, it really shows, and I love it, and I appreciate it. But basically, then Meredith drops the bomb that she heard through Jen that Lisa has been spreading it all over the greater Salt Lake City area in order to get Vita on the shelves. I mean, did it work? I don't know. I mean, I feel like the proof is kind of in the pudding, no pun intended, but like, has anybody had Vita tequila? Has anybody seen Vita? Has anybody seen it? Has anybody had it? Do they enjoy it? How does it compare against Lisa Rinna's best friend Kendall Jenner's 818 tequila? Like, I would really love to know. Where am I going with this? Oh, so Whitney's a little sneaky, okay? Because Whitney says that she also heard that, but she lets Meredith say the whole thing. First she plays dumb, like, oh, what did you hear? And then she's like, oh yeah, I also heard that. She even says in a confessional that she and Lisa have a mutual friend who's very wealthy, a wealthy man about town, and that she heard that Jen tried to pop it for him and in order to, like, fund her businesses. So this comes up later with Heather, and I just felt like Whitney's delivery of it was like, oh, Meredith told me this, and then she kind of slipped in after the fact that she had also heard that. But she really was like Meredith forward in that, and I found that to be a little bit shady. Also, like, I've seen people's reaction to the premiere, and people really seem to be turning on Meredith. Like, they don't like that they feel, I guess, like she is being a hypocrite by being so upset by what was said, especially what Jen said about her and Brooks, and now she's like going after Lisa. I don't know. This feels a little bit too moral for me. I'm enjoying it. Like, she's pissed the fuck off. I just feel like we're not really calling into the fact that, like, Lisa called her out of her name in so many ways. She talks shit about Lisa. She talks shit about Lisa's pussy. She talks shit about her whole family. She said her husband don't have a job. She basically called her kids losers and posers. And yeah, I mean, that's like pretty harsh. So I don't know. Maybe this is just like a bad thing and maybe I should talk to a therapist about it. But like, I feel like Meredith, or Lisa, crossed the line with Meredith, and it doesn't surprise me, and I actually find entertainment in the fact that she's being petty. And I hope you guys get on that plane with me too, because we're having a good time over here. Okay, and then Lisa has a conversation later with Not Baby Gorgeous. What's his name? Fresh Wolf. Anyway, out, they're like shooting hoops, and she was trying to talk to him about going to college, and he's like, oh, fudge college. And at first she has like a rather good conversation with him, a lot more grounded than I thought, about how basically Fresh Wolf says that he doesn't want to go, or he doesn't feel the need to go to college because he has a successful business, right? And Lisa checks him and is basically like, yeah, but you only have that because of me and your dad, and we worked really hard, and you're frankly not in a position at this point where you can call yourself so much of a success that not going to college makes sense, because we're still funding this, basically. Check your privilege, bro. And I really like that, because I don't think I've heard somebody in that tax bracket have a conversation with their kid that way. With that being said, at one point, Fresh Wolf says that colleges make, what did he say? Computers, not people, or something like that. And he has to turn away from the camera because he was laughing, you guys. He was laughing. So either he was trolling his mom, or this was a scene that they decided to make up where, like, Lisa can, like, get the narrative back and be like, I'm a really great mom. And girl, we got to get Fresh Wolf into some acting classes. Maybe we can get him into Tish or something, because the laughing, an improv class. He could take an improv 101 class. You can't Jimmy Fallon this. I saw the laughter, Fresh Wolf. Okay, so then back at Whitney's house, she is deeply upset. It's just her and Justin. She tells Justin, I just got off the phone and we need to talk. So they go into the great room. She takes a whole roll of paper towels because she's going to cry. And she tells Justin that she just got off the phone with her brother, Will. Will has been doing, so she's been on her spiritual healer journey and well, not traditional therapy, but she's got that lady with the bangs who, by the way, I tried to look up and I could only find her Facebook, and I'm going to keep that comment to myself. I just didn't see anything about her professional life, and we'll just keep it at that. With that being said, so she's on her own journey. Will is doing EDMR, which is like regression. You can recall memories in that therapy, but it's basically kind of like a more aggressive form of therapy than talk therapy, where you have this like licensed professional who really tries to get at the root of things and talk you out of, not talk you out of your feelings, but like reframe how you feel about a trauma. So I think that's what Dorit was doing in the beginning of Beverly Hills, where it's like, we'll put you back in the moment and we'll reframe that so it's like not as traumatizing, right? So I'm trying to be like really, I don't want to come off like an asshole, okay? But I think everybody who watched that Teal Swan documentary was like, ooh, I don't know about this, girl. I don't know. And I did mention this last week. So Will told Whitney that he, in his EDMR, was recalled a memory in which Whitney was abused. And Whitney is obviously very upset by that. And she says that when she was doing sage scrubbing, or what do they call it? Whatever, you know, burning sage around the house with Megan, that every time they would go into a bathroom, Megan would say, oh, there's a lot of energy here. And Justin was like, oh, did Will say something that confirmed that? And Whitney says, yes. Here's my thing. Like, I'm definitely not taking away from any pain Whitney has. Like, if somebody told me that, I would be deeply upset. Deeply. I'm also not taking away from, like, Will or his therapist or anything like that. I just feel like it's potentially dangerous to tell somebody else about a memory that you remembered about them, because you know what I mean? You guys know what I mean? Like, it could just potentially be, like, irresponsible. And again, I'm not putting that on Will. Like, this is real for him, and it's real for Whitney. Clearly, she's deeply upset. I just want, like, to make sure that we're only upset about things that we know for sure happened. Otherwise, we're causing a lot of trauma and pain for things that aren't real. And that's just my concern. And that happened a lot in the Teal Swan documentary. And I just, you know, like, there's a lot of, well, they said in the documentary that there's a lot of proof that repressed memories aren't really a thing. They're not really real. A study show that that's not like an actual thing. So I don't know. I feel for Whitney, and I definitely feel for Will. Like, it's nothing to do with them. I just, like, I obviously don't hope that that's what happened. I just, like, it just, you know, you guys know what I mean. You guys know what I mean. I just, like, it just is potentially very irresponsible. All right, let's move on. The ladies go to Arizona. Whitney and Lisa go a few hours ahead of the rest of the ladies. The house is, like, fine. Like, it is very outdated, and Whitney's right, it does look like Mary Cosby's foyer, and I love the nod to Mary Cosby, and I feel like that nod to Mary Cosby was a bit of an in if she wants to come back in the future. Like, they had the whole graphics department do, like, the ghost of Mary in the kitchen just saying, women. And I loved it. I loved to see it. I've heard that all the ladies have said that they actually really missed Mary this season, so I don't know. This might be Mary's to take back or not, if she chooses so. And also, by the way, she, I forgot to post this, I forgot, but a couple weeks ago, yeah, this must have been right before the season aired, Mary posted on, It's probably still on her Instagram. She posted it in her grid and in her stories. You guys know that she had been caught up in a lawsuit that they never mentioned on the show over kidnapping, harboring a minor in her home. So apparently, I guess her brother, not brother, son's girlfriend maybe was underage, and or maybe this was just a friend of his. Basically, she spent the night and then things spiraled out of control and they got charges for trying to harbor a minor against without the parents' permission or something. But the charges got dropped and she posted something that was like, amen. Basically, everybody who came up against me has fallen. Jen's caught up in her lawsuit and still I rise. And here I am. My charges dropped. And you know what? Can we say that Mary was wrong when she said, if you come for me, I will send Jesus after you? Like, 2-0. Can't deny that. Anyway, the house was, like, very well maintained for a home that was designed in, like, 2005 at the very latest. Like, it was outdated, absolutely, but like, was it clean and nice and seemingly okay? Yeah, it was fine. Lisa was right, it's like great for a party house. So Lisa and Whitney get into the hot tub and they have this conversation. Whitney starts to talk about her therapy, but then it seems like she kind of is like, I don't really want to get into it, I don't really want to talk about this stuff, it's too deep. Fortunately, Lisa was going to interrupt her anyway, it seems, to talk about how her life was not traumatic, but it kind of was, because she was raising her youngest siblings, her parents were young parents, and it was basically just babies having babies, and I don't know, then she said that they were all close, so it's like, are you upset about that or not? She seemed upset, I don't know. This turns into the stuff about Meredith and how she feels like maybe she liked Meredith more than Meredith liked her and their friendship, and that she's apologized to Meredith 4 times now, and if she doesn't want to accept it, she doesn't want to accept it. She's not going to, like, step on glass to get anybody to be her friend. And then she also says, if Meredith wants to get rid of our friendship over a small thing, then, like, what did those 10 years mean? Like, the small thing is that you called her a whore on national television. Like, what's not clicking with Lisa? That is definitely a deal breaker. That is, yeah, we were friends for 10 years and then you called me a whore on national television for everybody to hear. So, yeah, I'm kind of feeling like we don't really have much of a friendship, Lisa. Like, what is she not understanding? Lisa has a really hard time, like, kissing the ring or whatever. Like, she doesn't want to do it. And it's entertaining, but it's also, it makes me feel bad for her. Poor Heather has to keep chasing Lisa around, telling her, like, hey, girl, you're probably going to have to apologize a few more times if you really want Meredith to get over it. And Lisa's like, I totally hear you and I get it, but I've also done it and I'm not going to do it again. So Whitney and Heather sneak off to a bedroom to have a one-on-one conversation and basically gossip about what's going on. And this is where Whitney tells Heather about the allegations about Lisa popping it for anybody who will benefit her. So Heather is like, key, she is having a laugh, a real LOL over this. She's like, who has she been doing? Who is she servicing? The bartenders? The vendors? The bar owners? The state liquor store vendors? Who? Like I said, Whitney tries to, like, very quickly sneak in the fact that she also heard this shit. But it was Meredith. It was Meredith who told me, but, like, I also knew. And basically, she asks Heather when she should drop this bomb. And Heather's like, girl, you know you planned this trip for Jen to take her mind off the fact that she's probably going to clankety-clank the next few months, so maybe we could just, like, put this on a shelf for a bit until we get back. Not have a full-out war at the trip, if you don't mind. So then all the ladies go, because Whitney plans a shaman session. And everybody goes except for Meredith. Meredith is getting her glam done. She's talking to Seth. And she says in a confessional that she's actually experienced a shaman before and it was very powerful. So she doesn't want to open herself up to anything when really she feels like she should be protecting herself around Lisa. So then the ladies have to drink what appears to be pure cacao. And then they have to talk about basically like what they want to let go of and what they want to bring into their lives. And then they take a sip of that like very bitter, I'm sure, chocolate drink. And they do some breath work. Lisa has an emotional breakthrough, not about Meredith, but about her own childhood and the abandonment and how she was remembering this time where she had gone to the playground. She's going on the slide and her dad said, "One more and we're leaving." And so they were walking to leave, but Lisa made a quick U-turn back to the slides. And she says she went up like 20 or something times. And then when she went back, she couldn't find her parents. And she was just like devastated by the fact that her parents would have not noticed that she had been gone for so long. Meredith arrives late and she does apologize. And she says, "You know, I just feel like I'm very triggered from last year. Last time we went on a trip together, all of you guys weaponized my father's death against me. And here we all are together again." And so Lisa whispers to Meredith, like, "You know what? I remember, I know that I was a safe space for you." And Meredith goes, "And you're not anymore." She goes, "No, that's what I meant. I was like, I was. Never mind." And then she just gets up. She gets up and walks back to her bedroom, closes the door, and I'm like, "Girl, you better make sure that mic is off. Because last time, it didn't work out too well for you, girl." But Heather's able to wrangle her back. That shaman, was she an actual producer? Just in like a maxi dress? Because she knew. She knew exactly what she was doing when she was like, "You guys, I'm just sensing a lot of energy and, you know, maybe these are, you guys are probably pretty hungry. Maybe we could segue this into dinner so you guys can all talk about it there. Okay? Namaste. Bye." So they get to dinner and everybody sits down. Whitney tells everybody about the abuse that she just found out about. Heather's reaction I thought was very odd, and I feel like they're like 15th cousins or something, not that close, but it felt like her reaction was just like, "This happened to you," but not like "I'm shocked," more like "I'm not sure if I believe it." I don't know. I'm hoping I read that wrong. I'm sure I did, but it was an odd reaction. Anyway, let's move on to Beverly Hills.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Why wasn't it printed if it was a play-by-play?
That's true. It hasn't been in any publications, has it?
No, I want to know. How come if it was a play-by-play and someone was there, how come it hasn't been printed?
Has it been in the press?
Where is this information?
Have you read it in the press? I haven't.
I haven't either.
You guys are like...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's get into Beverly Hills. Listen, I love Garcelle Down, which is why I can say... I see myself in her, too, which is why I can say that... the fact that she had this entire Birkin and Bubbles party as a vehicle for her to convince herself to buying a $14,000 Birkin. Listen, I'm not mad at you, girl. I'm not mad at you. I see right through it, but I'm not mad about it. I actually quite love it. You do you, girl. She even invites Patrick. Well, she doesn't invite. She employs Patrick, the butler, Kathy's butler. Who's to say if he had to pay time and a half for potential hazard pay? If Erica was going to threaten Sutton again, who's to say? I don't know. But Kyle's also hosting a party. She is hosting a party because the estate of Princess Grace jewelry? I honestly don't know. She's having a party at her house. Okay. Where's that man? Where's that man that would sweat all over her backyard while Kyle yelled at him? What happened to him? Why is he not party planning? Who is this lady with the crutches? Who's that? Her backyard looks like Lisa Vanderpump. It looks like Pump. It looks like the back of Pump. Chandeliers everywhere. Flowers everywhere. I love it. I love that Kyle, like, obviously, rips from Lisa Vanderpump. And it's just like she makes it. She tries to convince people that this is an original decision, and we know it's not. You know, it's a little fun game that we play, us and the audience. So at this party, Kyle also has the opportunity to let the ladies wear some jewelry to walk around her backyard in, and she asked them to send in outfits, what they plan on wearing to the event. So she shows Rinna's outfit, and I thought, oh, I know what that outfit is. Kim Kardashian wore it. I know she did. It's a Balenciaga. This was, and I hate that I know this, but this was like one of her first outfits that she wore, you know, after her divorce from Kanye. So she was like going out on her own as a stylist. And I want to say that maybe he made fun of her for that outfit. Hold on. Let me check. Okay, I have to issue a correction. It was a different outfit, but let the record reflect that Kanye saw the outfit and then sent her a picture of Marge Simpson and told her that that's what Kim looked like. So that'll be all the commentary I have about Kanye, because whatever the hell he did this week, I can't. I cannot. I can't. And I'm not going to. And I don't have to. So I'm not going to. Oh, that's freeing. That's really freeing. Anyway, Princess Grace party. Oh, Lisa's biting the Kardashians again. So it really begs the question of, you know, who's really obsessed with Kris Jenner and the Kardashians? Her or everybody else? And I think we know the answer to that. Everybody goes over to Garcelle's because her party's first. And I don't know if Kyle knew what the theme of Garcelle's party was, but once she got her eyes, those beady eyes on her, on those Birkins, that table of Birkins, she was like George Costanza in that episode of Seinfeld where there's a fire at that kid's birthday party. And he knocks over the kids left and right to get out of the way so that he can get to the door first. That's what Kyle looked like at those Birkins. Okay, I got like one more I'm obsessed with the Birkin joke for Kyle in me, and then we gotta let that go. We gotta retire it. I can't do it. We get it. You love the very expensive purses. We got it. You guys know how, for those of you who listen to my Sister Wives recap, I've been talking about how once Christine let go of that, like, slimy, narcissistic leech who hasn't changed their hair since the 90s, she had a serious glow up, and she looked much better, and her hair was shinier, and there was really just a pep to her step, and her whole face looked refreshed, and, you know, it was just like the inside happiness emanating outward. And I won't say that it's happening with Kyle in this episode with regard to Lisa Rinna, but I won't say that it isn't. I won't say that it isn't. Did you guys catch that very brief conversation between Joshua, who was Sutton's assistant, and Patrick? Because Joshua asked him if he has a husband. Patrick, do you have a husband? And Patrick says that he's a butterfly who jumps flower to flower, okay? And you start off with good sex, but he can also be a good friend too. And then he also said that he has the hands for massage. So, okay. Butterfly in the sky. Patrick can go twice as high. Finally, Kyle is catching on to everybody else with regard to the fact that Lisa Rinna is an absolute snake and not the ring around Erica's finger. Anyway, it was a bad one. It wasn't good. Anyway, so Kyle's like, I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable. I was really starting to feel uncomfortable when Lisa started to suggest that Kathy needed help. And then Kyle says that she was just thinking like, oh my God, like, can't we just let this go, right? Kyle, why did you not say this to Lisa in the moment? You know, like, when Kim said, I've been thinking about Kim saying, Kathy would have my back like a real sister, when she said that to Kyle. And this is a moment where Kim was right. Like, say it in the moment. Stand up for your sister in the moment and say, like, hey, we don't really need to go down this road. Like, she apologized. I accepted it. That's it. Let it go, Lips. Like, what are we talking about? Like, why don't you put on a bucket hat about it if you're so traumatized and shook, as we find out. Kyle's giving a very exaggerated wink to the audience about how, listen, clearly Farrah, her oldest daughter, got in her ear and was like, listen, it's not going to be like at Nikki's wedding when only two of us got to go. I don't want to have any RSVP drama with regard to my wedding. Everybody's invited. I want the Hilton wedding gift, Mom, so don't fuck it up, please. So Kyle's basically saying, like, I need to make peace with my family. This wedding's coming up. I don't want this to be a big thing. I just, like, don't want to keep rehashing this. So I don't understand why Rinna does. She also makes mention, more out of the Hilton Richards handbook, that it's not just I'm in a fight with Kim or I'm in a fight with Kathy or whatever combination of whoever's fighting with who. It's also they withhold their children from each other. So she says that Paris and Nikki and Kyle are like sisters. And it's like, well, your aunt was good. Aunt, we can just stick to aunt, but that they're like little sisters to her. And she just, it's not like losing one person. It's like losing, there's just a lot more to lose. Sutton reveals, and really this is half of her storyline this episode, is that she reveals that she was talking to a guy on Bumble. They were having a great conversation. It was like 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden, the line went dead. And when she texted the guy, there was a green light, meaning he blocked her. And Sutton thinks that he blocked her because he got caught by his wife or girlfriend. And I hope so. I hope so. My freshman year of college, lived with this chick who would do that all the time. Like, be dead. Like, we would be watching her in the middle of a conversation with somebody, and she'd just, like, hang up on them, like, in the middle of a sentence. Oh my God, what a memory. She would literally just hang out, like, on her boyfriend, friends, just like fully having a conversation. Not fighting, no indication that she just didn't want to talk to you, just straight up hang up and just be like, okay, what are we doing? Be like, bitch, what? Oh, college. Anyway, even though that was like 40 seconds of the 65 seconds that we saw of Sutton, I think that was enough to keep her for another season. I really do. I really do. So Garcelle, I love this. She fully knows that Lisa spoke to Kathy because Kyle just told her that they all had a conversation not 24 hours prior. She asked Lisa, have you spoken to Kathy recently? Love it. Lisa says that she thinks, like, yeah, they did talk. She thinks overall it was a good thing to have happen. So Lisa asked Kyle how she felt. And Kyle's like, well, I did feel better when Kathy apologized. And then Lisa asked Garcelle and Sutton how much they know since they weren't at the club or whatever. And Garcelle says that Kathy called her around 12:50 that night. And Lisa is playing detective again. She's like, oh, that's just interesting because I got a text from her at like 12:53, but I didn't get it until the next morning because I had gone to bed because I had locked myself in the bedroom. And Garcelle's like, you locked yourself in the bedroom? Why? And Lisa's like, well, it was because I was shook that by the behavior that was going on. So Garcelle's like, you felt scared enough to lock yourself in the room. And Lisa goes, oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. So Kyle says in a confessional that she wishes that Lisa would let it go. And she has a tendency to be kind of like a dog with a bone. So the editors do a montage of Lisa saying that she was shook 2 days before this party, the day before, and 20 seconds earlier. And then Kyle says, I just feel like Rena's more upset about the fact that she had to witness this than she is looking out for me. And then Lisa says some bullshit about how Kyle has to live with this, and she really thinks that Kathy and Kyle need to figure things out. Time out, because I keep forgetting to mention this. I happened to have Bravo on the other day, and they were playing, the episode where Kyle was setting up them going to Aspen, and she was talking about how she's got a small house, and she's got a house 10 minutes down that's going to have the rest of the ladies. And Lisa says, well, I want to stay at your house, Kyle, because I need to be able to have a lock on my door. And Kathy says, for me? And Rena says, oh, no, never for you, Kathy. Interesting. That sounds like strategy, because why would there not be a lock on every door? It's a house. Presumably, bedrooms have locks on them, right? Anyway, then Lisa says some bullshit about how Kyle, like, you're the one who has to live with this, like Kathy, and your dynamic. And I just really think that you two need to figure some things out. So finally, Kyle gets a backbone, and she's like, I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable. Kathy apologized, and I had to accept it. Lisa's like, you know, I get that. I totally get that. I'm just trying to be protective. And Kyle's like, I know, but put yourself in my shoes right now. And then Kyle gets up, and everybody starts whispering at the same time, this is really hard for her. Yeah, it's hard for her. It's so hard for her. I get it. It's hard for her. I understand. So Lisa follows behind her, and she's like, you know, I'm sorry. It's a really tricky situation. I just want to make sure that Kathy gets the help that she needs. Like, bitch, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Let's go back to April of 2015 of the Beverly Hills reunion, in which Kim tells everybody the text message that she had gotten from Lisa Rinna. Okay? Be careful. Be very careful, or I'll fuck you up. You be nice to your sister. You believe her and stop telling lies in that order. Thanks. And then the following day, you need to get wise. Brandy's not telling you the truth. She's lying. I should have said that to you in that moment, but I didn't want another Amsterdam to happen where you smashed a glass and then threatened her. Yeah, okay. Tried to choke her, and it would have. I didn't want another Amsterdam to happen, and it would have. Your behavior and the way you treat people is not okay. You're nasty, and you need to be stopped now. I will fuck you up. I will fuck you up. But Kathy's the one that needs help. Okay. Kyle doesn't say anything to Lisa's face again. But in a confessional, she says that she just feels like Lisa's just kind of taunting her at this point. She really wants to move on. And then Lisa tries to therapize with her again. Like, I think Kathy really needs help. And, you know, that's her journey. That's her journey. So everybody's then getting ready for Kyle's Princess Grace party. Dorit and PK are back. They're doing their Sonny and Cher shtick or whatever comedy duo routine. This time it's PK asking Dorit if he should wear a tie or a bow tie. And when Dorit says a bow tie, he says, but I don't have a bow tie. And then Dorit says, well, why did you offer that as an option? And he said, well, I didn't think that you would say bow tie. So, you know, a real who's on first situation. We get it. You're not getting a variety show, okay? You're not getting a spinoff. We're not getting, like, it's going to be full Phoenix. And I don't even know if that's, like, adheres to child labor laws. That's all I want to see. So don't even, it's not happening, okay? It's not happening. Just like that $2 million to Rinna is not happening, you guys aren't getting a spinoff, okay? So Erica and Renner drive there together. How convenient. And Lisa's telling Erica that her publicist has been calling her left and right all week, and the publications have all the details about Kathy and what happened in Aspen, but Kathy's been sending cease and desist left and right all over town, all over Tinseltown. Okay? They, both of them, cannot, they're like trying really hard not to laugh and smile this entire scene. The all over Tinseltown apparently means like reality blurb. No, shout out to the like three authors of Reality Blurb and Radar Online. But like, let's be real. This wasn't in the LA Times. This is on Reality Blurb. Again, shout out to you guys, but let's be real here. So the headline says Garcelle Beaufet and Sutton Strack reportedly miss Erica's hair launch amid feud. Plus, did Kathy Hilton refuse to film? Did we not see a flashback to last week where Garcelle was filming the reel and that's why she couldn't go to Pretty Mess Hair? Okay, so what? Lisa continues her routine about how everybody knows now and she's still shook from the situation. Ugh, I can't with them. I can't. Kyle gets fitted with a $3 million diamond necklace. You could practically hear the moisture coming through her panties. Diana opts to wear her own jewelry, and in the most disgusting eat the rich quote I've heard in quite some time, the producers ask her in a confessional, Diana, why did you choose not to wear the jewelry? And she just waves her hands in front of the camera and goes, I'll just do this and you can count how many carrots are on my hands right now. Ugh. Bleh. Bling ring. Where's the bling ring when you need them? Ugh. Dorit asks Kyle where Kathy is, and she's like, she's out of town. It has nothing to do with anything, I'm telling you. It's just, she was definitely out of town, okay? Then Kyle and Crystal have their own conversation for, like, once. Kyle's really spreading the wealth, because she's like, well, I can't fuck with Lisa and Erica anymore, so I guess I'll talk to you guys. But Kyle tells Crystal that things are being talked about with Kathy. It's going on over and over and over again, and it's not going to help the situation keep talking about it. So Crystal says that this is like a situation that really needs to be handled between the two of them. Thank you, Crystal. And then Kyle mentions that details keep getting leaked. And it's like, even though everybody heard and saw everything, Erica and Lisa are the only two that are still the most upset about the whole situation. So then Crystal says, well, it's a question about what is the motive. And Kyle says, well, it's not like everybody here is an angel. Like, that's it. You don't get to decide what apologies are acceptable and what needs to be done to be forgiven. Yeah, Kathy was an asshole, but she apologized to me. And if you guys cared about that, you wouldn't keep talking about it. Me and my children are the ones who are going to be hurt in the end. So then everybody sits down for dinner. Kyle and Garcelle are sitting next to each other. And so Kyle leans over and asks if she'd spoken to Kathy. Garcelle's like, yeah, I actually spoke to her today. And I feel like Kathy's pretty upset that people keep running with a story that doesn't make her look good. Then in a confessional, Garcelle says, I think Kathy's pissed. And I think, I don't know. I just feel like maybe Rinna shouldn't have made her apologize. I don't know what happened, but Rinna's really not letting it go. It may really hurt Kyle and Kathy's relationship. Is it worth it? I don't know. Only Rinna knows. So then Kyle tells Garcelle that Kathy apologized to her and to Lisa. Garcelle's like, to Lisa? For what? So then Kyle says that Lisa and Erica are saying that it hurt them that Kathy was speaking about Kyle so bad. And Kyle's just like, I don't really want to cause problems between my friends and my sister. And Garcelle's like, it doesn't seem like your friends really care about you, because if they did, they would let it go. So then the cameras pan over to Erica and Rinna, who are sitting eating. And they can obviously hear what's going on, because Erica whispers to Lisa, oh, I can tell that these two are about to come for me. And Lisa's like, oh yeah, no, I can tell too. So then Garcelle tells Kyle, like, honestly, I think whatever's going on here is to distract from Erica. Like, we're not talking about Erica anymore, are we? Now we're talking about Kathy. That's just my opinion. So Kyle kind of sits there, and she, you tell she doesn't want to say anything. And she's like, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm being watched right now, but I also feel like there's an opportunity that's being taken advantage of. So Garcelle says, yeah, they're running with it. And Kyle tells Garcelle, like, it's too much now, and it's going to be a situation where I can't recover from this. Then most of the ladies go over to these, like, heated lamps elsewhere in the backyard, and Garcelle and Sutton talk first, just them two. And Garcelle says, I want to get down to why Kathy had to apologize to Rinna. And this is, like, brand new information to Sutton. She's like, are you serious? Like, Kathy apologized to Rinna? What for? So then all the ladies sit down, and Garcelle's like, I'm just feeling a little bit out of the loop about Aspen. So, like, can you guys let me know what happened? Because I didn't go to the club. What were you so offended by, Lisa, that you needed an apology from Kathy? So Lisa says, I didn't really need an apology from her. I didn't need anything. So Garcelle says, okay, well, if Kathy apologized, we need to let it go. And Lisa says, well, who's not letting it go? Or are you saying that? Why are you saying we should let it go, Garcelle? Who are you talking to? So Garcelle points at Erica, and Lisa says, I guess I'm talking to you two. So Lisa immediately gets offended or defensive and asks Garcelle, why do you have such an attitude? Because I'm sensing a bit of an attitude here. Now, Garcelle has not said anything. She's not raised her voice. She simply asked a fair question. And we're getting hit back with the, why are you being so defensive? What? Why are you having an attitude?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No attitude detected, Lisa. Then Rinna has the audacity to ask in a confessional, why does Garcelle need to get involved when she wasn't in any of it? Like, the same could be asked of you, girl. Didn't you say that you and Garcelle fared the best? So what is it that you're so upset about? Like, what is it that you can't let go of that Kathy and Kyle have let it go? So why haven't you? Why haven't you? The Garcelle straight up says, we're not talking about Erica anymore. We're talking about Kathy. And then she says in a confessional that Erica has said some awful things in the past, and she feels like they're going for Kathy. So then Erica tells the ladies that people in the group have been really hard on her. She's taken it. She's owned it. And so now Kathy has to own her shit too. Then Lisa says that it's not my fault. It's not Erica's fault. It's Kathy's behavior. And that's that. So Garcelle asks Kyle, would you prefer that nothing else come up at all? And Kyle's like, I don't want my family to get ruined. I want them to be at my daughter's wedding. That's all I want. And we have to let it go. So Lisa says, you can't just sweep it under the carpet. You can't. Garcelle says, actually, she can. If that's what Kyle wants to do, she absolutely can. Well, then Lisa claims that she couldn't have taken it to her grave. She could not have held on to this secret because she would get sick and get cancer if she didn't express it. Like, for real, Lisa says, Kathy's saying things that could ruin people's lives forever, and I've just done everything to protect her. I could get sick, you guys. I could get cancer and die. Do you want me to die from keeping Kathy Hilton's secret? I will die right now. Like, what are you talking about? Between the blessings and prayers and the predetermined cancer, that she's going to be dying from. Like, what are you talking about? Then Lisa's like, you know what? I'm going to kick this drama up to 11. And she points around all the ladies in the circle to ask if they know what happened back at the house. Kyle, do you know? Garcelle? Sutton? And Sutton goes, you've given zero details. So no, I don't. Lisa claims that she, again, was being really protective of the situation. And then Erica says in a confessional, she doesn't know what happened in that house. Only Lisa does. And she hopes that she tells it. Oh my God. Eric, then somebody says something about, like, you know, this is Kyle's family. And Erica goes, well, hold on a second, because for a year and a half, I've been pummeled. And Kyle interrupts her and goes, so that's why you want Kathy to be called out? And Erica goes, yeah, it is actually. Mm-hmm. She's had bad behavior in front of all of us in a public place. And so there's a consequence to that. But Kyle looks at Erica and goes, but you're only punishing me when you do that. And Lisa and Erica are like, oh no, Kathy's the one that's punishing you, Kyle. Kathy's the one that's punishing you. Doree whispers into Kyle's ear, you shouldn't have done this. And so they both get up and the ladies start to get up to leave, right? So Kyle and Doree go off to themselves and Kyle says, Doree, don't you think it's weird that all of this stuff is being let, you know, told to the press? And she goes, yeah, I do think it's weird. Like, do you think it's anybody in this room? And Kyle says, oh, 100%. And Doree goes, oh, shit. So Kyle says in a confessional that she heard from a very reliable source that there were leaks that never made it to the publication. And she also says that, like, Kathy found out about some stuff. Lawyers got involved. Things got taken out of the press. And, yeah. But she heard from this very reliable source that the leak came from within the camp, sin within the camp, and it was in the group. So Kyle says, Doree, somebody wants Kathy to look so bad that she doesn't look as bad. And Doree goes, oh, Erica. She didn't say that, but I will. So Erica and Lisa leave. They get up to leave, rather. And so everybody, including the morally corrupt Faye Resnick, gather around to hear Kyle's tale. But Kyle tells, she says that Kathy found out that more things were about to be leaked. She got the lawyers involved. She squashed the stories. And so Dorit asks Kyle if she's going to say anything. And Sutton's like, oh, for the love of God, do I have to do this? So she catches Erica and Rena on their way out. And she goes, listen. Point blank. Did either of you guys leak that information to the press? Kyle needs to know. So they both say no. They walk back into the parlor and Sutton asks them again, did you guys leak that information to the press about Kathy? So Erica says, I don't know how to do that. Erica, ma'am, you have been a self-published pop diva? Something. You've been in Chicago. You've been on this show for how many years? You don't know how it works. You've got a lawyer for a husband and you don't know how to get something in a magazine. Like, girl, we gotta stop playing this game, okay? Like, I want no housewife to ever say that again, that you don't know how to put something in the tabloids. Yes, the fuck you do. Especially you Beverly Hills bitches. Like, come on. Come on. You have a publicist, Erica. That is their job. That is their job, to get mentions of you in the press. What are you talking about? Even Kyle, part of the Halloween franchise, said later that she doesn't even have a publicist. And she tells Lisa, I don't have a publicist, but I'm also not getting a bunch of calls this week. Like, that shit doesn't add up. You guys are having all this stuff happen and people are coming to you left and right. That's not happening to me. Don't you think that's weird? Erica brings up a point that her publicist is the same as Nikki Hilton, Rothschild. And so basically it would be working against their own interest to put negative shit about Kathy in the press on Erica's behalf. So then Erica throws it back at Kyle and is like, how convenient of you to accuse my publicist of this. Your sister made an ass out of herself in public and everybody saw it. And I just think it's really disappointing to see you try to flip this back on me. Let's be honest. She's afraid of Kathy. She's afraid of what she would do to her. Okay. Okay. Fine, Erica. So, Erica's saying that even now she doesn't know what happened in the house with Rena and Kathy. Like, even now you still don't know? Okay. Then Lisa says, if we open our mouths and people are listening and watching everything, like, who knows? Who knows what can get back to the press? And Kyle goes, yeah, but those stories that were coming up to given to the tabloids were from Erica's hair party a couple days ago. Because there were things that were coming out that were actually going on at that event. And so Erica's like, oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And Kyle's like, okay, well, there were also texts sent that were a play-by-play of what happened. And they were talking about Kathy. And Erica and Lisa go, well, those haven't been printed in the press. So did you see it, girl? I haven't read it. I haven't read it. Have you read it? No, I haven't read it. I don't know. And so everybody's looking at them like, okay, like, are we doing a comedy routine here? Like, what's happening? Like, I didn't do it. You did. Like, hot potatoing it back and forth. It is laughable loser behavior. LLB. LLB. So Kyle says in a confessional that there are a lot of reasons why a story might be squashed in the press. It could be that they find out that it's not true, that there's not enough evidence, that maybe somebody had motivation to write something negative. And then a headline pops up that says, Lisa Rinna's cryptic Instagram posts are about Kathy Hilton. Quote, source. And Kathy says that the ladies, like, really seem motivated to make Kathy look bad. And I'm telling you guys, it only hurts me. So Lisa says in a confessional that basically what Kyle's doing is bullshit. And to go to this extent to cover for her sister is unfucking believable. It's called family, Rinna. It's called having a family. She's exhausting. Exhausting, exhausting woman. Garcelle tries to catch Lisa and Erica by being like, don't you think it's weird that, like, she would accuse your publicist and you wouldn't even question that, Lisa? Don't you think that's weird? And Lisa's like, no, I don't think that's weird at all. I don't think it's weird. Anybody could do that. There's a lot of people here and anybody could talk. It's Tinseltown, baby. Tinseltown. Oh my gosh. So then Garcelle says, don't you think that there was a part of you guys that was kind of like, well, Kathy was an asshole, so let's make sure everybody knows about this? And then Erica says, she's just having a hard time with this conversation because for 2 years, her ass has been chewed apart by everybody every fucking day. And, you know, that things about things that she didn't do, right? But her behavior is up for discussion. So then Kyle says, well, if this is all about how much it hurt you to see Kathy treat me this way, then why is it all over the news? And so Erica says in a confessional that she has nothing to gain by talking shit about somebody to take the spotlight off of herself. And, you know, if this is about getting out of a lawsuit, it's not going to matter to the people who are suing her. Like, Kathy Hilton does not factor into their lives. Nobody thinks you're trying to get out of a lawsuit. I think I don't care about Erica. In this moment, where are we? 3:50 Eastern Time, October 6th, 2022. I don't care about Erica. I've hit my limit. I really have. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. Oh my God. Lisa claims that they don't need to take Kathy Hilton down because she'll take herself down. And when Kyle brings up taking the heat off of Erica, Erica's like, well, Kathy's not famous enough to take the heat off of me. And Kyle just smiles. Like, all that Botox and filler broke right through. That was a hard smile. That was a hard Hollywood smile. So Kyle says in a confessional, listen, it's not a competition of who's more famous, but if you want to play that game, I feel like Kathy's last name trumps Girardi. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, Lisa tries to act like, oh, you know, we were leaving and now all this stuff is being brought up about Kathy and it's not in a good light. So yeah, Dorit's like, we gotta go. They get up. Kyle pretends like she needs to get that jewelry back immediately. And she's like in a side room, right? So then Erica and Lisa leave. The side room is literally right off the front door, right? So they're talking, they're walking down the foyer hallway, and Lisa says to Erica, well, if it's not out now, it's going to be out. And she like kind of laughs. And so Kyle hears them and goes, well, can we not let it be out? Because I keep getting emails saying that that's what keeps trying to happen. So Erica says, I'm absolutely not saying a thing. Kyle says, well, it keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So Erica goes, okay, give me whatever you have. Like you said, that this came out from my publicist. So give me whatever evidence you have. And then they just walk out and leave. This is not the behavior of people who are innocent. Like, if you're telling me that you heard somebody in my camp was leaking stories about you, and I'm your friend, and it's about your sister, and all of that, and you say, hey, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't know what happened between Lisa and Kathy in that house. Wouldn't you be embarrassed and be like, oh my God, like, you wouldn't be like, oh yeah, just give me whatever, email it to me. You know, be like, do you have it? I want to see it right now. Because I'm about to make some phone calls and fire some people, you know? Like, it was the neutrality towards this whole situation. Like, if somebody who is on your payroll is damaging somebody that you call a friend, I feel like there would be a lot more urgency to that situation than what we saw Erica do. But she was just, like, very calm and cool. Strange to me. So Kyle says in a confessional that she just doesn't know what to do now, and she's being forced to choose between them and her sister, and she's gonna have to go by blood. Which I thought was interesting, because she basically said the diametrical opposite to Kathy last week of, like, I need to cut people off if it doesn't serve me, even if it's my family. So you also sat next to Rinna and said that she was basically the same equivalent of a sister that you were. But, okay, if you want to go by blood now, I mean, better late than never, I guess. So Garcelle tells the rest of the ladies that basically if she was accused of having her people do something like that, just like I said, she would at least question it. And Doree says something about how now things are being separated into groups and how you have to stand on an island by your own. I don't know what that was, Doree. She tried. It didn't work. It did not work. That was it. That was it for this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They did their standard housewives, what's they're up to since the off season. And the only thing that I found interesting was that Kathy and Kyle have only spoken a handful of times since Aspen. And that at this point, Kyle doesn't know if Kathy's going to Farrah's wedding. So not great. Not great. Oh, I'm so glad to be free of them. Free, free, freedom. Freedom. Okay. All right. Bye, guys. Love you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Bye.